Hello, welcome to the Millionaire Woman Show, where we'll be discussing leadership, business, and human potential, inspiring you to live rich from the inside out. Unlock your creativity, stretch out of your comfort zone, break through your barriers, take inspired action, and achieve epic results. Now, here's your host, two-time best-selling author, speaker, and certified executive coach, Deborah Kosowski.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Millionaire Woman Show. I'm so excited. We have guests from all over the world, you know, sharing words of wisdom, leadership, business principles, as well as human potential principles that can help transform people's lives, helping them live rich from the inside out. Our guest today is none other than Nicola Grace, from cancer to making history, saving a $1 billion industry from ruin. Award-winning strategist, best-selling author Nicola Grace, the Mission Mentor, helps entrepreneurs and visionaries clarify and monetize their life's big mission so that they can make a bigger impact, transform the world, and build their legacy. Nicola's intuitive visionary strategy skills have made her the secret weapon of politicians, business owners, social entrepreneurs, social innovators, thought leaders, and an entire industry body. And, you know, I am so grateful to have you on the show today to hear all of this about your skill set, that you are this secret weapon. But I'm really interested in what really led you into entrepreneurship to begin with.
Really great question. And thanks, Deborah, for having me. It's really great to be here. Hi, everybody. I learned from a really early age that I wasn't employable. And it had to do with, you know, like I grew up as a young woman coming into the mid-70s, and I was living in New Zealand at the time, and it was a little bit behind the rest of the world in terms of women's rights, and so many subjects you couldn't study at school. And then I went out into the workforce, and I'm looking at all these men and I'm going, man, you guys are incompetent. You have no right to lead me or be my boss because you're incompetent, and yeah, all that kind of internal self-talk. So I thought, and my dad was a businessman, so I quite liked the business world. And so it was a natural progression for me to just take my own road and just go, you know what, I'm not going to have anything to do with that world because it doesn't look so good for me as a young woman. And the very first step into entrepreneurship, it was in the arts. I was a dancer and a choreographer as a hobby. And then I got invited to be part of a dance group. And then I started my own fully funded, privately funded dance troupe company in youth theatre. And it was very successful. It was one of the few art companies that was actually making its own money without a grant. And that was my foray into entrepreneurship. And that was in my early 20s. And I've been a serial entrepreneur ever since.
Very cool. And for those of you who are viewing us on YouTube or listening to us on iTunes, you will pick up on that accent. And she's in Australia. We're in different time zones. It's 10 p.m. here in Edmonton, Alberta, and it's 2 p.m. in Australia. So you know that we have that 8-hour time difference. But it doesn't stop us from being game changers in the world. And that's what happens when people have a global initiative and really want to make an impact. So how did you get to be the Mission Mentor?
Yeah, another good question. It was, you know, how when we're following our purpose and we're looking for our purpose, what we're really here to do, it's an unfoldment and it's an evolutionary process, right? And then there are moments where all of a sudden we have these big epiphanies and we go, oh, wow, I'm seeing this vision of my future forward. And it really started to happen when I was working with the natural health industry in New Zealand. The long story short, the governments of New Zealand and Australia had got together to say, let's form a corporation. It'll be funded by the pharmaceutical company so they can regulate themselves, and we'll have them regulate the natural health industry as well. So we all know where that would have ended up had it gone through. And for 7 years, the industry was was fighting. And I was like a small business owner at that stage. I had an organic day spa, and I loved the health, the natural health industry, because it was fundamental in me overcoming cancer. The first time I was facing cancer, a second time, a different type of cancer at that stage. So it was really important to me. And I managed to get onto a board to discuss a strategy moving forward, because for 7 years they were unsuccessful and the legislation was about to pass into law. And I rolled out a strategy. I have intuitive visionary skills, and I just went, you know, I've got this flash, here's my strategy. And surprise, surprise, they actually backed me, and I rolled out the strategy, and within 6 months we defeated the legislation. And then everybody was saying to me, you're a woman on a mission. You're the one for this mission. You've got the mojo. And so that came up. That's where I came up with the idea of Mission Mojo. And then my brother said, well, you know, that's a great win, but how can you apply that to business? Because I was in business. And then I had a friend who said, you need to know what the success factors were so you can teach change makers, people who are wanting to affect change in the world, how do you affect big change that makes big differences, especially when you're, facing obstacles. So the big soup of all of those comments went together in me doing the self-discovery work, and I came up with being the mission mentor, because the fundamental reason why I believe I was successful within 6 months and the industry weren't comes down to several things. Firstly, I was coded to do it. Like, it's what I was supposed to do. We've all got something we're supposed to do. And when we're doing that, that's when we unleash our higher potential. So I was in my higher potential. And then secondly, I'm really big on working with the laws of nature. I mean, I think most people have heard of the law of attraction now, but there are many laws in nature. And when we align to them, we start to create a momentum and leverage in what it is that we're doing. So I came up with some formulas on how to put all of this together to apply it to social entrepreneurship, people who have got a business that wants to make change in the world at some level, whether it's it with people's lives, or whether it's in the environment or the world at large. And I've just been rinsing and repeating that formula with people, and everybody's having, you know, similar results. You get on track, what you're really here to do, you unleash that higher potential. Ensure you get better results.
And the biggest thing that I've noticed, there's more and more businesses leaning toward having that social justice piece as part of their business. So how does a person build a social business that leaves a legacy that people will remember them for?
Yes, and it comes down to several things. And I think the first thing, obviously, is always, what is your idea? And the best social business idea is your purpose. Like, what's your purpose and how can that integrate into a business idea? And I think this is part of the reason why social entrepreneurship is really exciting right now. And at the same time, we've got a worldwide global movement of people waking up, wanting to know what their purpose is and wanting to either have a career or a business in purpose, because these two ideas are meeting, because we're the change makers, like we're the generation of change makers that are going to change the world. So once you know what that business idea is, it's really important that you have a completely different monetization model from a traditional business, because you've got that social factor and because you're making a difference, because it's based on your purpose, you need some other elements in the exchange. So to give you an example, traditional business is, I've got goods and services and you're going to give me money and I'm going to give you goods or services. In a social business, there's another level of exchange, and that is, I'm going to exchange purpose and a feeling that you're contributing to the greater good. So I'm not just going to give you something and receive your money. I'm also going to give you a feel-good factor that you're contributing to change in the world or to some kind of social mission. So that's really important. And more important, I think, for all businesses to go over into a social business model, because the Elderman Trust Barometer, every year they do statistics on where the global market is at. And last year in 2016, they found out that people are using this idea of purpose or the need to contribute to the greater good in their buying decisions. So if you're not offering your clients and your customers a feel-good factor that they're contributing to a greater good, or they're fulfilling some kind of purpose, here comes that thread I told you about, then you're missing out on 50% of sales, because they're saying 50% of audiences are using purpose as a barometer for buying decisions.
Interesting. So, excuse me. Two of us.
I know, look at us. We're still out there giving our message to the world. We're not letting it stop us.
So how do you clarify your purpose?
Well, the first thing is that we've got to know what purpose actually is. Because a lot of you know, we've got a plethora of coaches out there teaching about purpose and teaching it to narrow it down to a sentence. But when you think of life purpose, life isn't one sentence. It's a myriad of things. It's what we're here to do, what our talents are, what our gifts are, how we're here to learn, how we're here to expand, how we're here to express ourselves, what we're here to do. So there's all these elements that come together to create our purpose. So the first step in knowing what your purpose is to understand, well, what are all the elements that go together to make up my purpose? And then one by one, you begin that discovery process of what those particular things are. And I think most of us can know what our life lessons are as far as what that aspect of our purpose is, because all you need to do is look at the patterns that keep repeating themselves. Like when you've got something that keeps happening over and over again, there's obviously a lesson there, right? So that would be part of your purpose, to give that lesson. And as far as business is concerned, the part of the purpose that I help my clients figure out is, how are you here to show up in the world specifically? How do you express yourself? So one of your expressions, for example, would definitely be a speaker, because you're speaking, you're interviewing people, and speaking is important to what you do.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So, you know, you've talked about monetizing the purpose as well, but what is involved in expanding our vision to expand that financial experience?
Expanding your vision to expanding that financial experience. Man, it was the topic of my live stream this morning. And I think that it has to do with redefining the purpose of money in your life to start with. Because we're at a time where we've got this, and you know, like Canada is a Commonwealth country, very much like Australia, but in America particularly and other big capitalist countries, there's this feeling of, I'm not sure if I like capitalism the way we've had it, right? So there's this global question around the importance of money and how it's been used to exploit. So I think the first thing to do in order to expand your financial paradigm is you've got to repurpose money and what it means to you, and why it's important in your life, and what purpose it has beyond that capitalist, let me just make a lot of money so I can have a lot of cool stuff, right? So for me, my purpose for having money is so I can be a bigger force for good in the world. I can help more, I can be a philanthropist, I can do more. There's a lot more I can do to help people if I have money, as opposed to not having money. So now I've expanded my paradigm of what money is, and I don't have that little thing in the back of my mind going, but you know what, money's evil, it's dirty, you shouldn't make a lot of money because only bad people make a lot of money, like all of that stuff that we inherit from our ancestors and from society out there at the moment. It disappears when you redefine the purpose of money. So I think that has to be the first step. And then the second step is, what's your plan for it? Where's it going to go? Like, you're in business, you're making money, you want to make a profit. What are you going to do with the profit? Because I think money likes a plan, just like a woman, right? We want that security. We want to know where we're going. Money does too.
And that makes me think about individuals' self-limiting beliefs around money. Mm. Because if we're needing to give it a purpose, and you know, Dave Ramsey talks about making sure that every dollar is assigned what its mission is.
Nice.
Most people have self-limiting beliefs around what they believe money is, like the money is evil, or people who have money are greedy. Mm. That really can prevent them from building that social enterprise and really making the difference in the world if they stay with those beliefs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't know if anybody's watched the movie What the Bleep Down the Rabbit Hole. There's a fantastic scene in there of the neural net of our brain. And in order for us to experience something beyond the box of experiences that we currently live in, we need to entertain different thoughts than what we've already had. So you can't even get rid of beliefs that you're holding on to unless you're prepared to entertain another idea. And then it loosens, and so you can start to, you know, regroup your neural net in your brain to have a different experience. So by that, so the idea of repurposing money is part of having a new idea around it, but you need to entertain that you could be wrong about it. You could be wrong that all people with money are greedy. You could be wrong about, you know, money being evil. There could be another possibility, and we can entertain another possibility. And even if there isn't another possibility, how about what quantum physicists are talking to us about, saying that particles are only potentials, which means everything in form has a potential to be whatever we intend it to be. So why don't we intend it to be something good? Why don't we intend it to be a force for good in the world?
Mm-hmm. So speaking of making things a force for good, what are the characteristics for you that are part of being an influencer in the world?
Oh, I think one of them, like when I first saw that question, you were going to ask me that question, I got really quiet and I went, I think that's the first thing, being quiet. Because, and I think it's really important and underestimated, because if I'm still and I'm quiet within myself and I'm very confident in my message and what I'm doing, I don't have to browbeat people. I don't have to say, hey, you got to listen to me because what I've got to say is important and right. I'm really quiet about it. And so now I've got this attractability and people go, oh, wow, you look like you've got something interesting to say, even though you haven't said anything.
Right.
So you draw people into you. So having that quiet presence is important. And then I think secondly, it goes to the very first thing I said right at the beginning. When you are on purpose, you're showing up how you're supposed to be showing up in the world, doing what you're supposed to be doing, there is that thing that opens up in you where you tap into your higher potential to just open your mouth and magic comes out of it. And you'll just go, wow, I'm stunning myself with what I'm saying right now.
That's part of that wise counsel.
Yeah.
I was on your website and you talk about the law of duality. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Sure. I say that when anybody has a thought that something is impossible, the law of duality dictates that somewhere, someone in the world is thinking how it can be made possible. So why not make that person you? Why don't you be the person that says, hey, there's a problem, and everybody else says, oh, it's so hard to solve, but I'm going to have the idea of how to solve it. So that, you know, like that's our dualistic world that we're living in, where you have a thought that gets counteracted. Now, we can see this in between our own ears. If you have a positive thought about yourself in the back of your mind, sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, right. Who are you to do that? Who are you to say that? And people who are successful have a quiet voice, or they don't listen to that voice. Whereas people who don't move forward listen to that other voice. So the duality is going on in our mind all the time. It's just what you focus on to be the dominant, which actually ends up being the experience that you have.
So it makes me think about the person who is an employee, maybe working a hobby on the side, like you started out with, working toward building a business. And in part of their mind, it might be saying, well, you can't do this while you're working. But when you have that law of duality, it's saying, yeah, but there's people out there who are. So why not?
Yeah.
So that's exactly. A very powerful message for those people who think that it's never going to happen for them, or that they're thinking of quitting, because quitting's not the solution. Because once you're on a path with momentum and trajectory, you're going to take yourself very far. But the timing might take a little longer, but it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. And when that single opportunity comes, all it takes is that one opportunity to open the path to where you need to go.
Absolutely. I think one of the most profound statements that I've ever heard that is so simple, and we hear it a lot, and it has done me well, is never give up, never give up, never give up, never give up, never give up.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, and I just with talking with you, I know that you're able to work with individuals and helping them shift their mindset. And that's one of the things that we do talk a lot about on our show, is how can someone shift their mindset when they've been faced with rejection, or they're making some money, but not the money that they want. Mm-hmm. What would you tell someone in that spot?
Yeah. And look, you know what? I've actually been there. I mean, I've had moments in my life, and because I hear this story a lot. Oh, that's okay for you. You come from a good background, or you must have come from a wealthy background. And I didn't. And there have been moments where I can remember very distinctly, things got so bad. I was living in the United States. I was in Florida, and I'm in Miami, and I'm at the gate where I have to give money for the tolls to get through that particular part of the highway. And I've got the money for the toll, but I don't have money for food that day. So I'm actually getting out of my car, looking at all of the change that gets dropped into the, you know, those big bins, so that I've got enough money to buy food. So I had those moments where, how do I pull myself up from that? How do you go beyond that? And it has to do with this idea that Napoleon Hill says in his book, Think and Grow Rich, you can't afford the luxury of a negative thought. So for every negative thought you have, you've got to flood it with, well, that's not what I want. And if you can't believe in a positive thought, at least start talking about what you can believe in. Well, I believe there are other people out there that have solved this problem. And I can see that there are other people out there that have solved this problem, which means one day it's at least possible for me to have a different experience. Not only is it possible, it's exciting for me to consider the experience that I want to have. So you're starting to be your own coach, and you coach yourself out until you start feeling your vibration rise, and you start feeling happy, and you start feeling the possibility again. Because we have divinity within us, which means we have divine thinking within us. And there's no such thing as a shortage of money, only a shortage of ideas. And the only time that inspiration and those divine sparks can come through us is when we're lifting our vibration up, when we're starting to think more positively. And then you can go, oh, I can go to a toll booth and I can look on the ground to pick up some spare change, and then I'm going to have some food for that evening. Right? Those kind of things. Start small, and then that can get scale. Oh, I'm in a business. Oh, I can go to that networking event, or I can offer my services to do this, or I can do that. Like, you get that divine thinking happening so that you take action on it, and then you get the ball rolling to increase, you know, whatever the financial paradigm is.
So basically you're speaking toward your future.
Yes. Yeah.
And one of the things that I really want to pick up on and stress with our audience that you said, Nicola, is that pick something that's believable for you.
Yeah.
Because when you start from that place, that when you start from where you can believe, then you're able to look for the possibilities. Because I think what people do is they think so broad, and if they don't believe it, they're already talking themselves out, and they can't, excuse me. And they can't get them themselves to that place once again.
Yeah. And it was really profound moment in my life when I had a girlfriend. And I was speaking to my girlfriend, and I was moaning and whinging and complaining about how it didn't matter what I was doing in my business, things weren't turning out. And I'm going, I'm doing everything they're telling me to do. And she said to me, well, how often are you counteracting your negative thinking with a whole lot of positive thoughts? Because right now you're so low, you can't afford the luxury of a negative thought. And you've just been speaking to me for 15 minutes with a whole lot of negative thoughts. So how active are you in counteracting your negative thoughts? Because if you're not active, then you aren't doing everything everybody's telling you you should be doing.
Yeah.
And that was huge for me. And it really started changing everything. Just that very, very simple things that we say to each other that can just turn our lives around.
So do you remember a single pivotal moment when you started making that shift and catching yourself and changing the language that you were using?
The first time happened when I was in my late 20s and I was doing a lot of reading of Edgar Cayce. I was living in Switzerland, teaching at the international school there, and I was reading a lot of self-help books, reading a lot of Science of Mind, Edgar Cayce, and that was really where I started catching my thoughts. And it was, I've got the tickle now, Florence Shovel Shin's book, The Game of Life and How to Play It. And she tells the story in that of a woman who was determined that she was going to marry a rich man, even though she was really poor. And it didn't matter what people said, she absolutely believed it until one day it actually happened. And that made a profound impact on me. And from that moment onwards, I became a positive thinker.
Because it does take some work, and I've known people. I actually met someone on the plane one time, and she's just so positive. So I was saying, so how do you do that? And she goes, you know, I was working with someone, and what they all told me, no matter how my day went, that she would sit down with her journal, and she would write how she wanted her day to be remembered.
Nice.
And it was
like
all in positive form of how it's to be, even if things didn't turn out, but it was exactly how it wanted and looking forward to the next day. And I've never forgotten that. And I still keep in touch with her. And it's like almost 4 years later that we continue to keep in touch. But you never know who you're going to sit by on a plane and learn these different things.
Yeah, and I like that one day at a time, because I write in the morning. Like every morning I write what it is that I want to have happen, but I write the big goals that I want to have happen, you know, like 2 years from now, but I want it to happen right now. But I like her approach of just do today, just start with today, right? Yeah. Because if you're beginning, it's a good place to start, because then you get to see how you turn your day around and you go, oh, if I can turn my day around, can I turn my week around? Can I turn my month around? Can I turn my year around? Can I turn my life around?
Yeah. So what I'd like to do is let's put a challenge out to our listeners and viewers to do exactly what Nicola said. You're going to speak to your future, find something that you can believe in to help make those small shifts, because it's the smallest shifts that are going to make the biggest difference. So the future is bright, but also faced with uncertainty. How do you deal with uncertainty?
When you say uncertainty, are you talking about the climate of how the planet's going to unfold and regenerate?
Everyday uncertainties, like how people are going to grow their businesses, whether they're going to make the social impact that they want to, the legacy that they want to leave.
Personally, fundamentally, continuing on a path of education has been my way of feeling that I'm in control. So I feel like I have some kind of say over what my future is and how certain my future is going to become because of what I'm actually doing and how I'm continuing with myself. And then the other step is to have a business coach or strategic moments in your life to help you over the hump and get you further faster. And then the third thing I would have to say, because this is something I do daily, is that I check in with myself. I just check in with myself every day. I have this heart-soul connection that I do drop down into my heart, and I just sit very still and very silent, and I just listen to what's going on deep inside of me, because that's going to tell me if things are slightly off and I need to get a bit of clarity, or I need to get some education, or I need to take different action, or I need to change the tact of what I'm doing. And I look at my results on a daily basis to go, do I need to regroup? So I don't ever get to that point where I feel like I'm spinning my wheels going around and around in circles, because I'm strategically always making those corrections.
So what I've really noticed in our interview, Nicola, is from the question about influencers to this answer that you just gave us now, to really, you know, being in that place of silence, to really think things through, but also acting with intention with every action that you take. And that makes a huge difference when people aren't just doing random actions, that it's very specific in what they do. So you speak a lot about how we must monetize the purpose and mission-driven businesses in a completely different way from normal businesses if we want to make millions in the mission-driven business. Why is that?
Because the old traditional business model has never really worked for a lot of people. So let's have a look at this. 1948, you had a 48, how funny is that? You had a 48% chance of failure, which means the majority of people succeeded in business. Since the GFC in 2008, it's gone from a 80% chance of failing to a 90% chance of failing. So that means that the business model is faulty, because we've had decades now of business coaches, you know, the law of attraction, Think and Grow Rich, books, plethora of gurus out there telling you about mindset and how to be successful, but still businesses are failing, and they're failing at an increasing amount. So to me, that says it's not the people that are at fault, it's the model that's at fault. So we've got to go back to how we're monetizing and what the business model is and do it differently. Because if we do it the way that everybody's been doing it, then you're in that statistic that you're more likely to fail than you are to succeed.
So how do you monetize a mission-driven business?
The part of it is to, well, for me, it's tiered. Like, we need to get away from the one show pony. So, okay, I'm a coach, I do this, or I'm a biscuit maker, I make biscuits. And then when biscuits are no longer needed and we all find out that we shouldn't be eating a lot of sugar, your sales go down. Or when coaches are replaced by AI, which is very likely because we've got, you know, that's ramping up there with all of those expert AIs, then you're out of business. So we can't have a one show pony business model anymore. There needs to be diversity, and there needs to be, I like to work with the laws of nature. So I'm working with Septimal Law, Law of Seven income streams, servicing the same niche, but serving it deeper. So what are you offering that has you leveraged and has you hedging your bets, so that if something fluxes in the marketplace, you've still got this avenue of income, and then you can build a whole other empire around that. And you see this a lot of with people who are succeeding, and all of a sudden your GFC comes along and it's like boom, or the market shifts values and boom, the stats go down because the bets aren't hedged with, you know, with those multiple stream incomes. So that's the most fundamental thing. And I think also we're in the age of people wanting authenticity. We don't want the rah-rah salesman. We want authenticity. So if your business model isn't based on your purpose and how you're really here to show up in the world and has you being authentic about what you're offering, then it's getting less and less and less popular. You know, just take a look at the oil and gas industry. Fossil fuels are becoming less and less popular because it's not wanted and it's not needed. And all of the people in the oil and gas, they're not expressing themselves in their authentic way. They're expressing themselves in a way that's going to make them a lot of money. And I think that's becoming a very unpopular way of doing it.
People just got to start thinking differently and, you know, riding the waves of change, but also being very intentional with how they're doing it. And being paying attention to what's going on around them versus doing that traditional model.
Yeah. And also I think that if you're following your purpose and you're following what you're really supposed to be doing in the world, then there's some kind of divine plan in play that says, well, you've got a divine place here. You know, you're not in a market where you're competing with a whole lot of people because you're in that model of getting out there in the market and looking at what's needed and getting out there and competing. You're more in the, well, we're in a more collaborative mood. So over here in my purpose, like I work with other people that teach about life purpose. I'm not in competition with them. And so now we're in collaboration and you've got your spot, you've got your little piece of the picnic table that you're contributing to. And, you know, there's no competition because you're in your uniqueness.
Mm-hmm. So if you were to start over again, what would you say would be a priority that all of us should start focusing on?
starting a business all over again?
Sure.
Well, for me, it's got to be, are you doing what you're supposed to do? Like, have you answered that question? This, I feel right about what I'm doing. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what I was created for. This is what I'm here for.
That's very powerful. Because once people had clarified that purpose, like I said, that path just seems to open up and things become more effortless. Like, I know I can't necessarily speak for you, but I'm going to let you answer that. But for myself, when I have a chance to write, interview people like yourself, speak on a big stage and in front of anyone actually sharing my message, none of it feels like work to me.
Yeah, exactly.
It feels like having, you know, food and drink. It's just so natural.
Yeah. I think that's a really good distinction too, that it's not that you're not working and you might be working hard or extra hours to get, you know, to birth something, but it doesn't feel like work. It feels like, well, this is what I'm here to do and I'm enjoying it and I'm loving it so much and I'm just so filled with passion, and every day there's passion in my life, so there's no lack. So I don't have to go, oh, 5 o'clock, oh, I can stop now.
Yeah. Or is anyone watching what I'm doing kind of thing?
Yeah.
So I'm just going to put you on the spot for a moment. What are one or two books that have had the greatest influence in your life or business?
One or two.
You can give me three if you want.
I think the first book that had a major impact on me was Out on a Limb by Shirley MacLaine. That I read that book as I was preparing to do my big overseas experience and go to London on my own. And in that book, she has this friend teach her something, and he says, to get to the fruit of the tree, you must go out on a limb. And I've lived my life like that. If I want fruit, if I want excitement, if I want fulfillment, I have to be prepared to get out of my comfort zone and go out on a limb to get it. And I've lived a really rewarding life as a result of that. So that would be the first pivotal book. And I think the next book would probably be Megatrends 2000. Megatrends 2000 talked a lot about how we're moving into a high-tech world, and high-tech would mean that we would start craving high-touch. And I think that's what I model in my business model, because there's a lot of people that are trying to build digital products out there where there's no touch, there's no intimacy, and they can struggle with the numbers on that one. Whereas if you build some kind of intimacy into what it is that you're offering, you're getting this high-tech, high-touch equation right. So I've always known that whatever I was going to do past 2000 needed to have some level of touch, some level of, whether you're touching people emotionally or, you know, touching them with your message or touching them by working, you know, a little bit more intimately with people, that needed to be there in order to succeed.
I've never heard of either of those books, so now I'm going to have to check those out. So thank you very much for those references. So how can our audience stay in touch with you, Nicola?
Best way to stay in touch with me would be to go to monetizeyourlifemission.com, and I've got a nice free gift there, and it introduces you to my formula in my world. And you can just flick me an email. You go in, you get that free gift, and then you've got my email, and you can forward my email. Otherwise, go to my website at nicolagrace.com.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the Millionaire Woman Show. You've shared so many really important nuggets for people in any stage of business to think about where they're starting from, how they could be making an impact in their life. And if they're just getting started, it's even better time to rearrange their model in how they're going to give back in the world. So I really appreciate you sharing that, and also your personal insights into uncertainty about being an influencer in the world, because you are a game changer. You're the mission mentor.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks so much. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Millionaire Woman Show and watching us here on YouTube as well. We would love for you to go over to iTunes, give us a 5-star high five, and write us a review or send Nicola or myself an email letting us know what nuggets really stood out for you. It's because of you, our audience, that we bring guests on the show so that we can help impact your business, affect your leadership, as well as helping you develop and step into your potential. You can also go to my website at www.deborahkozowski.com and you will get your free MP3 download of the 10 surefire strategies to boost your productivity and performance as well. There's many things. Get on the Success Secrets newsletter. You don't want to miss a beat. We are doing so many game-changing things here, and we want to be part of your story, your mission, in leaving a legacy and that leaving that footprint in the world that you are doing right now. As Mahatma Gandhi said, be the change you wish to see in the world. And for my message for you is go out and make today great. And don't forget, step out of that comfort zone. Have a great day, everyone.